of the Living Geek.
And then I started writing notes and I saw that they were completely blank. Yeah. And even then I was like, all right, wait, I've seen this twice. What happened? It's not that I barely remembered. It's just obviously brain space has been occupied with other things. And so I ended up having to take a day off of work yesterday. I stayed home.
Because election or because depression or because...
Both.
Kind of the same
thing. Okay.
Yeah, as I say, it's the same thing, right?
Yeah. Actually, and the comic we were reading for Welcome to Comics this week, we recorded the day after the election, and we've been doing Superman stuff, and the comic we were reading was Funeral for a Friend, the, like, after death of Superman, when they're all, like, mourning him, and it's just, like, 400 pages of emo superhero crap. And I was like, normally this would really piss me off to have to read this, but it fit my mood, like, perfectly.
Yeah.
Man. And I was like, the only good thing that came out of this is Joe Arpaio is not my sheriff anymore. But now he's probably going to be the fucking Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, isn't that stupid? Like,
the cabinet is... Oh my god.
Hey, it's full of political outsiders like Rudy Giuliani and Chris Christie and Ben Carson. Yeah.
His EPA advisor doesn't believe in climate change.
He has Ben Carson as his preliminary Secretary of Education.
My God.
I know, right?
That's what pisses me off most, when I kept, like, defending people. Like, it's not as racist and sexist as you guys think. But God damn
I know.
Apparently it is.
Like, that's the thing. The entire time I was like, no. You can always trust the American people to figure things out ahead of, you know what I mean? To, like, get close to the brink and then go, never mind. And then not take a nosedive off like this. Just the cognitive bias of this whole thing has been like, come the fuck on,
The thing that pisses me off more is the people I see posting that are like, well, we need to, you know, it's all about love still, and it's about being understanding and have empathy. And I'm like, no, man, no.
No.
And what gets me is I understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to reframe this into a narrative that they understand and to be the better person. But for one, I only ever see white people posting that. I have never seen a person of color post that on my wall. And I have plenty of people of color on my wall.
Yeah.
I've never seen a person of color post that. And they are also almost all predominantly male. So it's really easy to be the better person when you're a white man.
Yeah. On the other hand, just imagine the great quality punk rock we're going to get in the next couple of years. We're going to have a rebirth of hip hop. It's going to be...
I don't want that.
I want both of those, but not at this cost.
What if we get a rebirth of the Black Panthers? That'd be cool.
That would be.
Can we get a rebirth of Rage Against the Machine? That would be awesome.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with punk rock, dude. Come on.
Okay, Rage Against the Machine is not punk rock. Okay? They are rap metal.
Punk is a full attitude and ethos. It's not strictly a genre of music.
Bullshit. It is a genre of music.
Punk is a DIY ethic that you bring to every facet of your life.
No,
a questioning
of
all authority in favor of personalized, learned experience. It's a philosophy, not just a musical genre. That's why
while
you're
talking, I got my Greedo action figure to facepalm.
Hey, shut up. That's why you have things like cyberpunk, steampunk, dieselpunk, all the other various punks.
Yeah, but I hate everything you just said. So.
That's fine.
Hey, cyberpunk's pretty good.
Nah, I'm not into it.
No, it's not.
You don't like The Matrix?
Not really. The Matrix is too far up its own ass. I don't like that.
You don't like Ghost in the Shell?
No.
Never watched Ghost in the Shell. I liked the bits of Standalone Complex that I watched.
Yeah, there you go. That's very cyberpunk.
Yeah, meh, whatever. Anyway, are you done writing your notes or what?
Yeah, I don't have that many. I don't have that many more than what you have anymore.
Okay, cool.
It's a pretty straightforward episode. They spent a lot of time on the fact that they were merging.
Yeah, it wasn't a bad episode, but there really isn't a whole lot to say about it. And did you watch the Ponderosa video?
Oh, no, I forgot. I didn't even care enough.
Don't worry about it.
Michelle's gone.
Michelle, her video it's not bad. It's just that it's
How much did she blame every single thing that happened on God?
only a little bit. What she said was, really? she didn't blame God. She said, I thank God for giving me the opportunity to do this, and everything is part of his plan, so he wanted me there, and that, then he, right, now he wants me...
Part of his plan. Well, that's her blaming God.
And now he wants me here, and so I'm just going to follow his path and that kind of thing.
Yeah, see, she didn't lose. Yeah, God quit for her.
Well, no. All right, here's the difference is she didn't blame God. She just said it happened, and everything happens, and blah, blah, blah. And don't get me wrong, it was very kind of a lot of slow panning shots of her laughing and smiling and being a cute young person. But beyond that...
Of course it's boring. She's the only one there.
I mean,
sometimes you get good week ones, like if Chaos Cast were there on her own week one. Yeah. That's a good week one.
There were fun people, and now I'm blanking on all of them, but there were fun people the last couple seasons who were the first one on there and were just like, all right, I'm going to have some fun now. I'm going to draw pictures and take a shower. And she was just
I would love a solo Randy Ponderosa video.
Oh, that would have been great. Here's the thing, like the perfect encapsulation of her thing. Was she gets back, they don't show her eating, but they show her eating breakfast the next morning, and she's super excited to have been given a glass of milk. It's like...
That's pretty cute.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying she's a terrible person or anything, but probably a Trump voter, but not that she's a terrible person, but she just like is kind of a dull, generic person, at least right now in Ponderosa. Maybe, like, you're right, Brian. Maybe once more people get there, she'll have some fun, but right now, it's just kind of like, I spent 8 minutes watching it, and I was just like, whatever. I don't...
So, we mentioned people who would be interesting in Ponderosa, and I remembered I don't remember her name. Who is the one who, at Ponderosa, wrote a song about how great America was?
Haley.
Haley, yes! I want to find Haley on Twitter.
America.
Yes, that's right. It was a white collar, no collar, blue collar. Yeah,
yeah. She was the first white collar or no collar to come off. Yeah.
Let's see that. Haley Survivor Twitter.
Yeah, you can look up her last name and you can just search for her. That's how we found Mari.
Haley Janoski. No, that's not her. No. I put in Haley Survivor and the first thing that comes up is Joe Anglin.
That's pretty funny. All right, you know what? I'll look it up for you, Survivor.
I just want to see what her Twitter stream looks like.
It was right in now. Cambodia, was it?
No, and her there. I remember Jen.
Was it Worlds Apart? Was it Worlds Apart? Maybe, let's see.
Maybe Haley doesn't have one.
Yes, it was. This is the one that Haley HLIA Ford.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Hallie Ford. And she's from San Francisco, or she lived in San Francisco at the time.
Okay, so I think there she is, on Twitter. And Instagram, Obey Haley.
And you know what? I'm going to look it up, too. Let's see.
That's the name of her Instagram page, Obey Haley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Is she Hallie... there's Hallie Ford 8, Hallie Ford, and... there's too many people with her name.
It's too hard to find it, probably.
Oh, no, this is her. Let Love Define Me. I recognize that picture. Mm-hmm.
The one with no post since November 5th.
Oh, yeah, I think that's the one.
I just wanted to know if she would post her song about America after the election.
I just want to see if she's a fucking racist.
Fuck.
Oh, this one who's an African-American basketball player in Bakersfield is definitely not her.
Mike, though, Mike probably voted.
Oh, I guarantee he did.
No! Mike seemed all right. Rodney did, for sure.
He lives in Texas.
Ron did. Will did. There's some pretty blue parts of Texas. Most of the border with Mexico is blue.
Nah, Will lives in Sherman Oaks. Will's an asshole, but he's also... Hey, California went two-thirds for...
No, Will. Will will grab him by the pussy. Don't. Okay.
Sharin definitely didn't, because Sharin is an American hero. Anyway, let's talk about this season.
Let's talk about Survivor instead.
This episode?
Yeah. With whiskey.
Let's talk about... Wait. I got it. Let's talk about Survivor instead of our survival as a species.
Very important thing I have to say. And I glanced at the screen real quick of the name of the episode. I swear it said, I am the Klingon.
No, it might have. Oh, yeah. I am the Kingpin. Whatever. We didn't really take many notes. And I don't blame anyone because... No one's been in a note-taking mood, as you can tell that we are 20 minutes into this and we've barely talked about the episode. I'm going to keep some of that intro. I'm not going to keep the whole 15 minutes that we did on the election.
No.
By now, you guys
should probably like do an intro.
Outwit, outplay, outcast. There's your fucking intro.
And I think we don't have as many notes in here because Nick, you and I talked about possible alliances after the merge. We talked about that last week, and
yeah.
I just want to say my analysis was spot on. The one that you got lost and stopped listening to.
Yeah,
I called it. I called it 9-4, and that's what happened exactly the way I thought I would.
Flex. Oh yeah.
Good job. I'm just gonna pretend. Yeah, sure. You were exactly right. I'm not gonna bother verifying. Sure.
Go back and listen to it. I know nobody will.
I'm good. Thank you, though. Yeah. So they got back from tribal council, and all I really remember is Hannah not, like, she put on a good face, but she just didn't like being left out of the loop and swore eternal revenge.
Yeah. I like the bullshit they told her why. It was like, because we didn't want you to have to feel responsible for it.
Yeah.
And then I want to know how pissed she would have been if they told her the truth, because we thought that you're a fucking nutbar and would go tell Michaela immediately.
Yeah. But it's like, it's funny, because isn't that sort of a self-fulfilling prophecy? We can't trust you with this information. We're going to tell you that we can't trust you with this information, or that we didn't trust you with this information, and now we don't trust you at all. Now you're going to flip. It's like, well, you kind of worked her into that situation where she's going to flip on you, and you're acting like you're surprised?
Yeah, you did.
Come on, guys. So, yeah.
You worked her into it.
Come on, man. did anything else happen before the merge?
Really?
No.
Yeah. I only vaguely remember most of this. I just remember, though, with the merge, they got a whole bunch of food, and then Taylor, who's a big dumb idiot and can suck eight dicks, fuck that guy, he steals a whole bunch of the food, and he's like, this is my stash. It's like, you son of a bitch.
He wakes up like four people doing
it. Yeah, and he thinks he's being all stealthy.
My favorite part was his, like, I'm really good with mason jars. That's why I can do this.
It's like, yeah, what? How is it that you're good with mason jars? I can screw on a top. Congratulations, you idiot.
No, because he hangs out on Pinterest and he sees all the cool crafty things you can do with mason jars.
Also,
so he knows how to pack extra food in.
Let's pause on this for a second and just point out, be a fucking adult. Don't drink out of mason jars, people. I went to a deli near where you live, Andy, actually. The one that's by the now-closed Taco Bell.
Was it Eric's? Because they use mason jars.
Yeah, it's like, you're a goddamn business. That's not... Don't use stupid-ass mason jars. That's... Use real cups, you idiots. And it's just like... I'm not...
That's the hipster thing these days. I see kids on campus at San Jose State University. They have a drinking mug, but it's shaped like a mason jar and has a handle on it, and it has the mason jar looking lid with a hole in it for a straw. But the whole thing is plastic, so it's not a mason jar. It's just molded to look like one, but it's essentially just a mug.
So basically, it's a terrible – like, so a mason jar is a terrible thing to drink out of because of the way it's curved and all that. So it's a terrible thing, but it's also a fake terrible thing that's used to show other people how fake and terrible you are.
Ironically, yes.
I hate this I hate the generation of which I am a part. So we're basically
kids in college today are not the same generation as me.
No, they basically are. They're the upper limit. We're the lower limit. Anyway,
no, as somebody who works with college kids, I can tell you there is a clear break from where they are now from where they were maybe 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, good. I still don't care. Mason jars are god awful. Don't use them, people. Just be questioning society is good. Questioning traditions is good. Using mason jars as an adult is just dumb. It was a fad. It's like, ooh, we're going to do this DIY thing. And, you know, we're poor. We can't afford real cups, so we're going to use mason jars. It's like, now that a mason jar costs more than a cup, you're just being an idiot if you use one. Sorry to chomp your flavor, Brian. I know complaining about things like that is your deal, but
yeah.
It needed to be done. So anyway, well,
that made me all sad because you mentioned Eric's Deli. I'm like, oh, I want an Oreo Speedwagon now.
I just had clam chowder. It was pretty good.
Actually pretty good.
Here's the other two other things about the real game now. No more politics. No more mason jars. Anyway, the first thing is, did you notice that they had a name already? I think it's Vanaka. I don't remember. It was something like that. Vanaka.
I wrote it down. It's Vanaka.
Vanaka. Okay, with a K. I was thinking maybe it was with a T. Yeah, it's like, I kind of miss having people come up with a name.
America.
Yeah, America. Oh, yeah. You know what? Now that I think about it, Brian.
That was the last one.
I bet you they stopped it because of that. That's sad.
Because they're on a beach in another country and they basically put an American flag on it.
Yeah, but I mean, like, at the same time, first off, number one, aren't you a little bit down with America? I'm down with America. But also, it's like, okay, Ratana, Gitanos, Dabu Dabu, they've come up with some dumbass names before. So, I miss that. I really miss that. I miss people trying to create pranks.
I would use name of a planet or an alien species from Star Trek or from Star Wars.
You'd be like,
Every time they panned over it, they would have to blur it out because they wouldn't want to pay for the licensing.
You'd be like, yeah, our tribe name should be 8472.
Or we could be...
Fuck that. Jem'Hadar sounds like a good tribe name.
Yeah, Jem'Hadar.
You can get away with that.
Rataki. Rataki's a good one.
Well, that's Star Wars, though.
Andoria. Andoria's good.
Aren't the Rataki are Star Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I said both is fine.
Oh, my bad. Anyway.
Or if it's raining a lot, you could say Dagobah.
Or if you're doing it in the swamps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if it's really hot, Tatooine.
That's a different show, man, if you're doing it in the swamps.
Yeah. Oh, that's Swamp People, which is a god-awful show. Don't ever watch it. I had a friend who used to be an editor on that. I asked him why. He's just like, pays the bills.
Wait, anyway, there's a real fucking show called Swamp People?
There was. It's not around anymore. History Channel. History happens every day. So Adam, he finds himself an advantage. He's looking for another immunity idol, which is smart, smart man. But I don't think there's going to be one on this merged beach since there's already three in play. They're not going to do four. But he does find an advantage. Oh, you're agreeing. Sorry, I was like, no, you're disagreeing with me? You think there's going to be a fifth idol?
No, I
you agree. I gotcha. It's weird how, like, that's a uniquely Californian thing. Yeah, no means no. And no, yeah means yes. When starting a sentence. But anyway, so Adam, he finds his advantage. And it actually is kind of a neat advantage. It allows him to steal someone's reward, which is pretty cool. I like that.
There's absolutely no advantage to telling anyone about it.
Yeah. Well, there was a minor tactical advantage. I mean, he's trying to bond with
Taylor.
That he
failed miserably at.
Well, he didn't fail. It's just that Taylor rejected it.
No, he
failed.
He's failing. He completely misidentified and misread Taylor as a possible ally. Yeah. I understand what he was trying to do, right. I think he was trying too hard and overplaying and doing too much when in reality he should have just cemented a bond with somebody closer into his circle. Because it's already 9-4.
Yeah.
You're fine.
Like, telling them about that in no way is going to make them trust you because there's nothing they can do about it.
Also, for what it's worth, it wasn't 9-4 at the time. It was 4-5-4. So there were a lot of blocks, and he didn't necessarily know that they were going to unify the way that they did. As I said, though, it's kind of a neat one, but I feel it's a kind of a bummer to have because as soon as you use it, you're gone. Like, someone's going to want revenge.
Why would that make you a target? Like, that's not... Oh, because once you use it, it's gone, and it does nothing for you anymore.
Well, but the revenge aspect.
If I win visit from my family, I know you think it's stupid, Brian, but if I'm out there and I win it, and it matters to me, and you go, actually, Jeff.
Yeah.
Probst.
Yeah, but look, all of their rewards, they don't ever give to one person. So you can easily take it from the person who didn't win, that they were like, oh, you can come too. Be like, oh, no, you can't.
That's what I'm wondering about. Like because
that person will fucking hate you. Well, like, no matter who you take it from. Is going to hate you.
That's the thing I'm wondering about, though.
You just take it from somebody who already hates you, and it wouldn't matter.
Okay, now I got a chance to say it. That's the thing I'm wondering about, is when it's actually used. Like, alright, let's say Jay wins some trip to whatever. You know, they always do one of these. So, they say, hey, pick two people to go with you, and he picks two people. Does Adam play it then, and then he goes with those two people? Or does he then get to pick two people? Or, third scenario, does he play it before Jay picks two people?
So that is interesting, because the note on it said that he plays it after the winners are chosen. It says winners are chosen, and before they leave the beach.
Oh, okay.
So supposedly it's like right at the last minute. But you're right, because there are times where somebody will win, and Jeff will say, "And pick somebody to go with you," and they'll be, "Oh, I don't know, there's like three people I want to take. I can't pick just one," and they'll hem and haw, and then they'll pick one, and then Jeff will say, "Okay, pick one more." So at what point then I think he's supposed to wait until they're ready to leave the beach. But yeah. I mean, if you're Adam and you really want it and you're jumping at the bit, do you really wait for Probes to stay? One more. You can take one more.
Yeah.
He might fuck that up.
Like, that's what I'm curious about. Because, like, if it was, you know, you win, you just get to, and then you get to pick the people, like, it could actually work out then. Because you could win. I'm sorry. You could take someone's reward, pick them to go along with you, and then have them pick one other person. You just be like, "Look, I just really wanted to go on this reward. I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah," yeah. that kind of thing.
That, I'm sure that's exactly why he has to wait until the winners, plural, are chosen.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
otherwise he could just break the system.
For maximum drama. Yeah. All right.
I would give it to somebody I don't like. Like, rather than telling Taylor about it, I would give it to Taylor. because you're right about it, putting something on its back. No matter what you do, when you do that, somebody's going to like, "That was fucked up." I mean, even if it's an alliance, like, there's very few instances where doing that is not going to piss off more than just the person you stole it from. I would have just been like, "Here, Taylor, you should use this tomorrow."
This is yours, buddy.
But it is a really...
Right? You stole the food.
Yeah. It is a really huge advantage, though, because if you... in a reward challenge that you really want and you know there's no chance in hell you're going to win, you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, and if you know that the person who does win is someone that wasn't going to vote for you anyway, like, why not take it?
And then this is something that I think really would have served somebody like Hannah, or who else would this be? Maybe Sunday better. People who are never going to win a reward and most likely don't have the friendships to be chosen first or maybe even second to go along. This would have been like, "Oh, I've been out here 30 days and I haven't won a reward in like a week, so I really need to eat."
Yeah.
Because at that point, nobody can really blame you too much if it's just about pure, "I need to eat."
Yeah. But you know, the funny thing about this, I'm doing the math in my head now. So we have three immunity idols in play. We have one that was already played. We have a legacy advantage. And we now have a reward steal advantage. It's like, that's six things in what, we're in episode 7 right now?
Eight.
We're in episode 8 and there's this many gimmicks going on? It's like, come on, show.
Well, it's only three different things. It's not like...
I like, okay,
we can talk about the number of immunity idols here and there, but that's not a gimmick that's new. What I like is that, I mean, in terms of gimmicks, I like the idea of a legacy advantage better. And I like the idea of a reward challenge better than a super idol.
Yeah, the super idol was silly.
That did not work out anywhere close to how I think they were hoping it would.
Yeah.
It led to dumb play and not to interesting play.
You know what's so funny about the super idol? Until you mentioned it, I had forgot it even existed. Like,
no,
was
actually the way the super idol played out was fucking fantastic. I don't know what you're talking about.
I am happy with the result, but it made them lazy players, and I want to see everybody being the best player they can be.
And once again, you're gonna have to remind me how it worked out, because I don't remember that at all. Because
Ty didn't give him his half, and he got voted out.
Right. Okay, I remember now.
Because God, what were they? The two, the bounty hunter and the basketball player, Scott and Jason. Kyle Jason, I still don't remember which. They were just not involved with the day-to-day of the tribe because, like, "Oh, whatever, we got the super idol. Who gives a shit? I don't care." And so they weren't involved in the gameplay until Ty was like, "Actually, I'm going to fuck you right now."
That's right. Okay.
It was awesome.
Ty was wonderful.
I mean, The end result was fantastic, but it basically gave us two or three episodes of two people not playing.
Yeah. Just a side conversation. what is the best gimmick that you remember?
I don't remember most of them, honestly.
I
remember good idol play better than anything else.
I think the best gimmick that I can recall was the first time, I think it was Cook Islands, the first time they had it was Exile Island. The first time they had an Exile Island and they hid the immunity idol on it, and then people had to dig around to find it and solve clues and all that kind of stuff. Back when it was actually really kind of hard to find idols, now people just like wander out there and go, here's a coconut with a sign on it. All right. But
it really wasn't hard because every person that found the first clue found the idol the same day.
No. They always got the first. No. Let's see. So the one that I'm talking about, there was that woman. She got the clue of like.
You remember Brian? That woman.
Yeah, that one. Yeah. Well, no, because she was voted out that, like, as soon as she got back. From the Exile Island, they voted her out because she was like, maybe I found it. And they're like, well, we're going to vote her out and find out one way or the other. And then Yule got it like on the third or fourth try. Like, or the like his first time out there. But by then, there were like three or four clues about where it was. And that also led to the great thing of Jonathan Penner just digging like a 4-foot trench that was like 8 feet long, 4 feet deep. And he's like, either somebody already has it or I'm just completely off. And he was digging in the right spot. So that's my favorite gimmick. Have either of you got anything else?
No, I was gonna mention Redemption Islands too.
Oh, that was good. Wasn't there one where
actually,
two...
I like the ones better where they, not like an Exile Island, but where they have to have their like the one-on-one elimination week after week.
Yeah, that was the Redemption.
Yeah.
That. I like that better.
Oh,
yeah.
Not because it adds another challenge per se, but because, like, if somebody gets fucked, right? Like, Michaela could still be in this game, and I could still be rooting for Michaela. And we all know when she comes back, odds are she's not going to matter.
Yeah. No,
But it lets you have that person and keep rooting for them week after week. And if somebody's out there working their ass off that you didn't like, it gives you a chance to have them, like, they'll win you over if they fight for it enough.
Yeah. No, that's not true. Now that I really think about it, the gimmick I loved, I think it was Tokachin's, was when they got off of the trucks the very first day and they said, all right, everybody vote right now. Two of you are not going to go back to camp with your tribe. And everyone was like, oh shit, they're gonna be voted out. Oh my god. And then what it turns out was they immediately sent everybody who wasn't voted out, you know, to walk to their camp. And then the other two people were like driven there. And so they got there with like 2-3 hours to spare. And they were told, there's an idol here somewhere. You can either look for it or you can build a shelter. And one person decided to look for it. The other person decided to build a shelter. The person who looked for it, they got voted off like third or fourth. I mean, they lasted a little while. The one who built the shelter, she went to the jury at least, even though she had strep throat at the start of the game.
I think my least favorite was the one where they had, I don't remember, I think it was Haley that it happened to, where she was on a tribe on her own. No, not Haley. Who was that?
Haley. It was, I know I can picture the chick.
Yeah.
I
don't remember what her name is.
Like
I know.
Jessica or something.
I know the one you're talking about. They had an odd number of people, and so she just joined whatever tribe lost a person.
Yeah, so she was she was out at Braun Camp on her own.
Yeah, that was just silly.
Yeah, okay. For like 2 days.
Yeah. Oh, that was a good side digression. Good job, guys. We did.
Wait, I have an answer.
Oh, cool. Right on. Sorry.
We don't give a shit about
just
you, Brian.
Jump right in, bro.
Bitch.
The water's fine.
I think my favorite
your body,
one
not your brain.
Was, what? Anyway, I think my favorite one was the whatever the hell it was called. The one where they were the pirate one. Where they like started like in a fucking city and they had to like barter for supplies and shit.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, Pearl Islands. I didn't I didn't
it was
watch
the first one with Rupert and he stole whoever the hell it was.
Shoes. Yeah. I didn't see that season. I started watching again, like seriously, with the first All Stars. So yeah, and he was in that one. So that's good. No, yeah. Cool. Wasn't there a season? It doesn't matter. I was saying, wasn't there a season where people were voted off like day one and then they came back like day 20 or something? But that seems like that's a bad twist because then they don't have the bonds or anything.
It did happen, but yeah.
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 Stupid.
All right. Well, twists aside, And gimmicks aside, this time we had no reward challenge. It was just, the reward was basically that big chest of food that Taylor raided. So we went straight to an immunity challenge, which was, you know, a classic thing where you hold up a bucket of water, your hand is attached to a bucket of water, and as soon as it slips, the water drops on you. The twist this time being that it's both of your hands instead of just one, so it's actually harder to keep up. And yes, I like
that. And the water was colored.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
It gives it a nice little je ne sais quoi. But I always like a good
Taylor
endurance.
Taylor would have won that challenge.
Yeah, she probably would have.
I'm, yeah. You know, not gonna Although, was it... So, I know it was Will who wins. Was it Jessica that he was up against at the end, or Sunday?
Yes.
Okay.
Sunday lost in, like, the first 5 seconds.
Yeah, I remember one of them,
I don't get how you're still getting them confused, because Sunday is, like, 15 years older than Jessica.
No, yeah. Here's the thing. In fairness, I didn't get them confused this time. I picked the right one, but I wasn't confident, so I asked for clarifications. Okay. Confirmation.
Also, I'm sorry to have jumped on your ass.
Come on, man.
Sunday's blonde, and Jessica's a brunette.
Jessica wears glasses. Jessica has that weird back tattoo. I know, I should realize that, but I forget their names.
Huge eyes.
Jessica has, yep, she has huge eyes. She's like a Sumerian doll. Come on, that was a grade A reference. A Sumerian doll? Come on. Anyway, so yeah, this whole thing lasted 90 minutes, and everyone, like, I really liked that Hannah was telling the truth. Everyone else was lying, and she was listing off all the various body parts that ached.
Oh.
That was
just so stupid. No, that was stupid of the other people.
Yeah.
Like Jessica, I'm perfectly fine. Like, what part of you pretending that you're not in any pain is going to make the other person fall faster?
Yeah, they're going like, oh, well, they're really not in any pain. I better get off now because I really hurt. It's like, come on, man. Yeah, it's silly. Well, because I kind of get what they're thinking. They're thinking, if they think that I'm great and they know how much pain they're in, they may give up. And it's like, yeah, they may, but they're not gonna. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We learned that Will has a good mom.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And of course, Will wins, because anytime somebody says that, you know what, we need to make sure that this person loses so that we can vote them out, they always win. It is scientific fact. Savannah? Nope. Survivor fact. Oh, yeah, that's something we forgot to mention. Adam floated the... No, actually, you know what? It was Taylor who first said Will. It was Taylor who first said the name. I think he might have been floating it to Adam just as bait, and then Adam's like, yeah, maybe we should get rid of Will. Because Adam, when he was on the beach with Taylor, was doing the Gossip Girl thing of being like, have you noticed that Jay and Will are really close? I feel like they're closer than you and Jay. I mean, like, yeah, I like that.
What he said something like, Will has supplanted you as his right-hand man.
Yeah. I
think it's true.
It's true, but I love the like, middle school way that it came out. Just like, that's so funny. Yeah, so anyway, Will wins. Anything you guys want to add about it before you just move on to the Scramble and Tribal, because whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Yeah, it was a good challenge. It was like, what can you say? Like, the highlight was Hannah listing off all of her body parts and being so perky about it. Like,
her face hurt.
Yeah, my face hurts. My toes hurt. My shoulder hurts. My cranium hurts. Everything hurts. It's like, it's just the way she said it was that's the thing. But yeah, so all right, whatever. Anyway, they go back to the Scramble. And, you know, I'm going to merge it with the tribal talk because it kind of gets into my peeve with this episode, was that it was Michelle who went home. And I understand why. Michelle was a social threat and people liked her and she wasn't bad in challenges, but they don't show any of the Scramble against her. It's played up as, ooh, is it going to be Jay or is it going to be Adam? And it looks like it's going to, maybe it'll be Adam. And then Michelle's name comes up. And the thing is, as soon as I saw Michelle's name, I was like, okay, it's going to be her because they've done this 2 other times. And the person you thought was going to go home ended up going home. Rule of threes. Now it's going to be the blindside person. And so I was just like, well, it's going to be her. And now I don't really know why. So make me care.
You know why.
Well, I know why now, but at the time I was just like, I didn't see this coming. This feels like it should be a surprise, but because I know it's going to happen now, it's not really a surprise. And I feel a little bit jaded.
There was a slight rumor like, okay, we do need to break up Jay, Taylor, and Michelle. They're like the brains of the operation. They're the ones who are the bigger players. Will is just the tag-along easy vote. So there was talk like, okay, Michelle is in there, and she's probably the easiest one to get out, because if Jay hears Taylor, Jay might use a potential idol to save him, but probably not to save Michelle. So I understand. I mean, like, that kind of got mentioned, but at the end, very, very briefly. And I think this is more editing hangover, because the Michaela blindside was beautiful.
Yeah, that was really well done.
It was easily Brett. It was all Brett buildup, and then there was maybe 2 minutes worth of talk from Jay and Will about we could flip, we could do Michelle, and you didn't get to see Jay go and talk to Brett and Sunday.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of, you didn't know going into it if Jay had been able to pull it off, if Jay really had committed to the fleeting idea that he had, if he solidified it from fleeting to a real vote. So when it happened, you had a thought that maybe, but you were probably relatively confident it might not be. And the payoff for your lack of knowledge was beautiful, because you were in the same position Michaela was. They knew Michaela was a favorite. So it, like, you had the same reaction Michaela had, and it got Jay on your side to see him have stone cold cojones, was like, yep, I did it. So the payoff there was beautiful. So for here, I think they were like, that worked out really well last episode. Let's try it again. And just Michelle is just not interesting, and she hasn't been this whole time.
And
so
she
the
got,
payoff isn't there.
And she got 9 votes casting. I mean, that's the main, my main quibble is, if you get 9 votes cast against you, there was clearly something that they could have shown us. They could have shown us some sort of, you know what, why not go for Jay? Like, okay, in that way they make the drama, is it going to be Jay or is it going to be Michelle? And then you see the Adam votes, and maybe now the drama is, did he get screwed over? Because you could see him, if he's making power plays like this, not that he really made one, but if he's making power plays like this, then he deserves to get some votes. And more importantly, whose idea was it to get rid of Michelle? I'm thinking maybe Zeke, because they showed him say that line about, I never trusted you from the beginning. But that just came out of context from anywhere, so.
I think Zeke suggested, and I think David mentions it. But the thing I wish we would have seen, it's 9-4, right?
Yeah.
And if you know that the numbers are 9-4, I want to see the discussion where they debate whether or not to split the vote, and debate whether or not they think Jay has an idol. And if you're confident he does, maybe just say fuck it, and because you're not confident in the 9-person alliance that you've kind of, you know, cobbled together. Like, that discussion of, we have 9-4, we have enough of a majority, we could split the vote and be completely safe and have no consequence for having split the vote. So I'm wondering why they didn't do that, and what discussion there was around should we or should we not, what do we think of an idol possibility, like. And I got none of that, and that's what I want to see, because how does that discussion work when you have 9 people floating around and various alliances mixing to make it work?
But you know what? Adam, you know, didn't know all this, so him not playing his idol was really fucking ballsy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. That was
especially when Taylor flat out told him during the tribal that they're voting for him.
Yeah, that was gambling. Well, but that's the other thing. He didn't play it because he felt confident that he had 9 or 8 people backing him up. So again, show us some of that. Like, I think you're right, Brian, or not Brian. I think you're right, Andy, that it was poor editing, because there's so many other storylines that they could have gone with. And the fact that they didn't, or they chose this one instead of the others, is just a poor decision on their part.
And I mean, maybe those discussions weren't interesting. We got a lot of this episode from the point of view of Adam and how things matter for Adam. So it's making me think Adam's going to go pretty far and make some interesting moves eventually. And this episode is supposed to kind of get you on his side a little bit.
Yeah.
If you're doing it from Adam's point of view, Adam doesn't know what the rest of the camp is talking about. And his only real assurance comes from Hannah, who comes to him and says, chill the fuck out. Stop talking. It will be fine.
Yeah.
and Adam, to his credit, I think does that. Adam's like, okay, I guess I just need to chill the fuck out. Hannah's playing me straight.
Yeah, that was a good thing. I'm glad Hannah was definitely in on this. She, for once, they weren't leading around silly. Yeah.
All right. So, and Michelle's little, you know, when they're showing you the votes and her goodbye thing. Like, I thought I could count on everybody to be honest. I'm like, have you ever seen this show before? Like, are you fucking retarded?
Exactly. It's like, this is not a show for honest people. So, rather, you can try and be honest, but don't, like, you can be honest, just don't expect other people to be honest.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I already mentioned her Ponderosa video at the top of the show. It was...
Yeah.
I mean, it's not bad. Watch it. It's 7 minutes of really nice footage and a weird Mars bar or Milky Way bar, I think. Product placement. And other than that, whatever. She's like this thing. She's just kind of. You good?
Yeah. Sorry.
No worries. I'm just kidding. Don't worry about it. It's 7 minutes of her just kind of like talking about how, you know, the generic. This game is so important to me, and I blah blah blah, you know, whatever kind of stuff, and staring off into space pensively and trying to be philosophical. She mentioned she's an assault survivor, and that's cool. Don't get me, I don't want to sound like I'm minimizing her entire life, but at the same time, it's like you are kind of just a generic person. So
did she pull the I'm gonna be a better person now because I was on Survivor shit?
No, actually, I don't think she did. From memory, I don't think so. At least she didn't do that
dumb shit.
Yeah.
Because it's such bullshit.
I think what she really, like, she honestly does seem like a person who's genuinely happy with herself, and so this was just an adventure for her to get to know herself better. That's basically it, so. Mm. Yeah.
You know, I had three people on the same goddamn tribe for 3 weeks. The second they merged, then I lose one of them.
Yep. You played with fire, yeah. And you got burned, and thank you, by the way, for giving me a wonderful segue. We didn't have any bets resolved, did we?
No.
Alright, cool. Then just go on into fantasy.
Yeah, Brian, so you were in last, and didn't get any better, because you had Michelle, Zeke, and Chris going into the week. So Michelle got you 0, Zeke and Chris got you the baseline 3, because neither one of them won anything, so that's 6 added onto your 78 to give you 84. I had 78. I have Ken, Taylor, and Jessica. None of them won anything, so I get 9 added onto my 78, which gives me 87. And Nick, you had 83, so you were already hit by 5, and you got 3 apiece from Jay, David, and Adam to give you 92.
Yep.
And I like how you point out that both you and I had 78 last week, but I was in last.
Yes. You were in last.
He's a spiteful, spiteful bitch. Oops. You're not paying.
You've been in last all year. All season you have been in last.
No, all year. You're not wrong.
Yeah. You've been in last. You've been in last at least all season this season. And that because you came with the tie does not mean that you weren't still in last. Let's be honest.
You know what, though, Brian? That just means that when you come from behind, your victory will be all the sweeter.
Yeah. So, yeah, Brian, you're only, 8 points ahead. It's not like it's...
Yeah, it's not insurmountable in the least.
No, this is an amazingly close season, I gotta say. Yeah.
Zeke wins. Chris wins.
If Jay uses the idol right, I'm then I'm pretty much fucked. But
yeah. Also, I mean, well, think of it this way: Chris wins immunity twice. You're fine. You're right back in this thing, unless Zeke is the one who goes.
Well, and Zeke is. I think Zeke is a fine enough game player. He'll stick around for a little. I'll only go win anything, but he'll stick around for a while.
Yeah.
So Brian, you lost Michelle. You get first at the waiver wire. The four people available are Brett, Sunday, Hannah, and Will. And I will give you Taylor if you want Taylor.
Fuck no.
Good.
Did you not see like how like the last three votes went against Taylor? I'm not picking that fuck up. I'm gonna pick up Brett again.
Brett, okay.
Oh, interesting. I thought you would have gone with Will.
No, I don't like him.
It's not also, about
this last vote went against Will also.
Yeah, but he won immunity. He might win again. Alright. Are you gonna grab anyone, Andy?
Yeah, I'm up next. I'm going to drop Taylor because even if he wins something, he has to win immunity, and I don't see him doing that. I think he's too middle of the field for most of the challenges. He's good enough to do well in all of them, but I don't see him winning a strength-based challenge. I don't see him winning an endurance challenge. I don't see him winning a puzzle challenge. I see him being competitive in a lot of stuff, but not actually winning any of them. So I'm going to drop Taylor and add him back to the waiver wire. And I'm going to pick somebody up. who I also don't think is going to win anything, but I think will last a little bit longer. I'm going to add
Hannah?
Sunday.
Oh, Sunday. I'm going to add Hannah. Sunday.
You know what? Sunday is going to be one of the final three because she's never going to do anything.
Yeah, that's my hope. Three easy points every fucking week. Because at this point, also, we have to realize there's only three more episodes until we are stuck with what we have. So I want to make sure I have a group who I think are going to go quite a ways.
You realize, like, next week she's going to be, ooh, shoot, you know, I already forgot what her name was. The one you guys were like, is she even going to say anything this week?
Lucy.
Lucy, yeah. So Sunday's going to transform into Lucy and just be a complete tiger mom. So good luck with that.
Cool, yeah, that's fine. I've been around before.
Cool. All right, well, in that case,
Do you want to make any changes?
Why would I make any changes?
You want to drop an idol?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I want to drop an idol and pick up Taylor. Taylor's going to go all the way.
No. I will trade you any one of my players for David.
I'll trade you my ass for your butt. Yeah, you heard me. Your butt. Oh! All right, that seems like as good a place as any to end it, unless anyone has anything else they want to say.
Oh, I think we should mention, we didn't talk about Taylor at Tribal Council. Everybody calling about him is going, I'm bro, it's okay.
I actually, you know, the sad thing, I don't remember that at all. I'm thankful that I took notes because I barely remember anything that happened that wasn't in the notes. I've just, you know, the last couple days, I've not been in a headspace for it.
They basically all took turns being like, this is why we all hate you, Taylor. And he's just like, smiling and laughing like a fucking idiot.
Oh, that'll be worth rewatching then.
Yeah.
I should do that. All right. Then in that case, are we done? I think we are.
Okay. Yes.
We are done. All right. Well, we will see you guys next week. Right?
Yes.
Yes. Sorry. I have another whatchamacallit focus group thing going on, but that's later. So not right now. That's like on a Wednesday or something. All right. So have fun then. Goodbye.
Of the Living Geek.